Katie, welcome to How I Got Through It. I am so excited that you're here. I love, love, love what you do. You are a self-talk shifter, and I think that is some of the most important work that you could be doing, because our self-talk, that chatter that kind of goes on in our head, is literally happening every single second of every single minute of every single day. And you teach us how to be kinder to ourselves, how to have grace when we talk to ourselves. So I honestly think that, especially in today's environment, today's world, you are doing some of the most important work of our time. So thank you so much for spending your time today with me.
I am so pumped. I'm so happy. This is the last thing of my day. And I'm so happy that this is how I'm ending my day.
When I was reading your book, I kept thinking about the concept of a self story. And a self story is the story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. It's a firsthand account of who we feel that we are. So, for example, if you said, I'm a mother, I'm a podcaster, I am a person that keeps promises to herself. So if I say I'm going to go to the gym 5 days this week, I go to the gym 5 days this week. Other people may not know my self story, but it is the story that I believe about myself. So I guess I want to start the conversation there and ask you, why is our self story so important?
Yeah, I mean, I say it in the book. I have a book coming out in October. It's called Want Yourself, Shift Your Self-Talk, Unearth the Strength in Who You Were All Along, which is a big, beautiful title to basically say that this story that you tell yourself is really important. I say that the most important story that you will ever tell is the story you tell to yourself about yourself, because that informs how you walk through the world and what you do next and next and next and next. So we are who we believe ourselves to be. This concept of the self, it's really just like the core of who you are, which means that it's the core of who you believe you are, the truth of who you are. And so if we build this truth and belief around, let's call it negative self-talk, it can be really harmful. So the words that we say, the feelings that we have, the stories that we tell can be helpful or they can be very hurtful.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, the other thing too, because I started actually reading your book, and when I was reading it, and it's so good, I love the title, Want Yourself, because I think so many women walk through the world wanting other people to want us, and we never stop and go, oh, do I even want myself? I love the title. But when you're welcome. When I was reading it, the thing that I remember thinking, I was like, we're also the witnesser of ourselves. This self-talk that's going on in our head every single day is the thing that we walk into every single room with, even if we're the only one in the room. And I think that that's why this work is so important. That's why the story is so important. That's why I love your book and love your work, you know?
Thank you so much. And yeah, I love that you called out the title as well, because I think, you know, the title is three words. It's want yourself. And many times that word yourself or myself or themselves, we sort of put it into this compact phrase and we can gloss over what it actually means to do something ourselves or talk to myself. Whenever we use that word, it's become so unemotional for us. We don't really stop to think about the different components of the word. And so I really wanted to isolate the words, not just for the structure of the book, but to remind people that this thing, yourself, is so important and is really this constant in your life that many times we're not even giving a second thought until maybe things are starting to get really hard and we are starting to spiral in those moments, which it can be tough to build a story that is helpful for yourself when the only time you're really paying attention is in those really tough spots, you know?
Yeah. And I'm thinking about, I had a friend call me today and her car broke down and she was stuck in traffic in the hot sun. I'm in Florida, so in the hot sun, and just kind of doing what you're talking about, that spiraling downwards. What can you say to someone that's in a moment like that, right? Like, how can they start to shift their mindset and their self-talk when they just want to badger themselves with negative self-talk?
Yeah. I mean, first, I will say that I view self-talk as neither good nor bad. It's information. Mm-hmm. And it's what we do with that information that informs what we do next and next and next and next. And what's really interesting is that when we talk about self-talk, a lot of us talk about our inner monologue, inner dialogue, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are actually many people who don't have an internal monologue and actually experience their self-talk, if you will, through feelings or images. And that, I find, that can be some of the most challenging self-talk, if you will, to shift, because a lot of the solutions that we're given focus on the talk part. They mm-hmm. say, well, you're saying something bad to yourself, something negative about yourself, so replace that with a positive phrase. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're someone who doesn't think in phrases to begin with, or maybe doesn't always think in phrases, because there are also people who are sort of like a hybrid where they think in words and phrases, and they also think in feelings and emotions and visuals. Mm-hmm. That is not going to work for those people because you're not starting with the words to begin with.
Right.
So if you say replace a negative word with a positive word, if you haven't started with a negative word, how can you replace it with a positive word? So mm-hmm. I always tell people to first pause, give yourself grace and give yourself space and recognize that you are a human who is thinking and feeling in the way that a human does. There is nothing wrong with you. I would argue that there is something right with you, because mm-hmm. if you are just this beam of positivity, mm-hmm. so-called positivity, yeah. dead-end positivity, as I refer to it in the book, then you might actually be a robot or maybe even a sociopath. Like right. you want to give yourself the grace of the humanity of yourself, that you are a human that is going to fluctuate in thoughts and feelings and emotions. Now, after that, going back to self-talk being neither good or bad information, you want to get curious about what's underneath that self-talk. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is the last step for people in that moment. Sometimes it's just about getting curious, mm-hmm. not trying to fix or solve or stop. It's about getting curious as to, well, what's the information under here? Is this something that I maybe heard from somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Is this a wound or a hard point that I have experienced in my life before that is now coming up again because I'm being reminded of that? Right. Am I maybe not feeling safe right now? Do I need a little extra care? So really getting curious and then being proactive, not reactive, with what that curiosity piques in you, what that mm-hmm. uncovers mm-hmm. is key. So it easier said than done. It's definitely nuanced work. I mean, so I wrote a book about it and not a single Instagram post. But it's work that is, it's a practice. It's a habit to build. So I think that especially if someone is listening and they feel like whenever they get into that negative self-talk loop, it sort of overtakes them, I would ask them how they're interacting with themselves in the other parts of their life mm-hmm. when things aren't feeling so heavy.
Right.
Are you using constant self-deprecating humor? Are you bonding with people over negativity? Because those are actually the moments where you want to start to practice that more positive and proactive language mm-hmm. so that when the hard moments come, you are not rushing to try and save yourself with tools that you haven't even acquired yet, right. you know?
Yeah. 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 And I loved that part of the book. I actually read that this morning where you talk about, and I'm paraphrasing, but not all self-talk uses words, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought about that for my own self, because I'm like, there have been so many times where I'm just driving in the car and I feel this undercurrent, I would say, of a feeling. And I'm like, what is this? Because mm-hmm. my mind seems to be completely fine. I'm like positive all day, but there is something mm-hmm. that I feel that either my mind wasn't comprehending or whatever. And those days, like you said, I just give myself way more grace. I do a meditation that's longer and deeper, I would say. And I really just try to like love on myself and be kind to myself that day because, and I don't even try to figure it out sometimes because I don't even, it doesn't have words right now for me. So I don't even know what language to use for it or how to solve mm-hmm. something that I can't comprehend yet. So I loved that part of the book because I don't think I've ever heard anyone else say that. There's all this talk about changing your mindset. And a lot of it, I would have to say too, comes from coaching. And a lot of coaching, I think, comes from sports. And they're like, you know, just push through it and all of that. Sometimes you don't know what you're pushing through. And, you know, when I was reading your book also, the other thing I thought of, I was like, man, she must have had to really shift her own self-talk. Like, this must have been something for you that you're like, I just need to do this and I need to share this message. And the podcast is called How I Got Through It. Can you share mm-hmm. what was the catalyst for this work for you?
I will preface this with, I have been doing this work and I've been doing this work professionally now for over a decade. And mm-hmm. I still experience negative self-talk because negative self-talk is a part of being human. Yeah. I am a human. What's happened though, is that because I've been, just to use a common turn of phrase, consistent in my practice, my turnover rate is quicker. Mm-hmm. When I have those negative thoughts or feelings, or I'm feeling down on myself, I'm unsure, I'm able to bounce back from that feeling mm-hmm. quickly the majority of the time because I've been doing this work for so long. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to how I first started doing this work, which was when I was fairly young. I was in my late teens, early 20s. And before then, I had always been a highly sensitive person. Like I say this at the beginning of the book, when people talk about those days when they're kids and they were wild and free and carefree, I don't remember any of that. If that was ever me, then it certainly did not stick in my memory. Uh-huh. So I was always this deep thinker, deep feeler, and could really feel what was going on around me without even having to have someone tell me about it. Mm-hmm. So that also made me really receptive to the world around me. So that's everything from teachers who would scold me to things that I would overhear from family or friends, strangers even. I started to develop this self-told story without even realizing it. Right. When I did realize it was fast forward again to those late teens, early 20s years when I was in college. I felt like my life had been completely wiped clean and I was starting fresh and I felt like I had zero control and I wanted to be this, you know, grown up in the world. Yeah. I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. And so I had been left to my own devices as people are in college and I ended up developing eating disorders, body-related disorders, mental health illnesses, really. Mm-hmm. And it was the early 2000s at the time. The mental health conversation was not nearly as robust as it is right now. I mean, yeah. The fact that we are talking about this on a podcast, yeah. If you were to go back 20 years ago, it would be like, oh my gosh, that is revolutionary.
I know.
And so it's easy to forget about that and how we have really started to pioneer a new conversation very quickly. But in that time, I was experiencing so many things that people just were not talking about, and especially the nuances of what I was going through. But I had this feeling like this is affecting not just my day-to-day life, but how I want to move forward in my profession. I was a musical theater major. It was affecting my voice, my ability to literally get up on a stage mm-hmm. and take up room and own my space. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm going to use this high sensitivity and high awareness that I've had my entire life, and I'm going to use it for me, not against me, because I need to figure out what is going on, because this is not going down a good route. And it doesn't seem like there's anyone or anywhere out there who's able to help me in the way that I feel like I probably need the help right now.
Yeah.
And I started to realize that by listening and getting curious, I had internalized all of this self-doubt, low self-worth, stories about confidence being narcissistic and vain, and the stories about how I fit in with the world around me. I started to realize that those are what had gotten me to that place, and everything had sort of come to a head at that moment.
Yeah.
And in order to move forward through it, I would need to shift this story, not just the story that I was telling myself in terms of the words that I was saying to myself, but I would have to shift how I was actually interacting with the world. So I wouldn't just have to find out like who I am, but I would have to be that person out loud. Then I would need to have to stay that person when things got rough. And that ultimately, fast forward a lot now, is what led me here, led me to starting my platform, Want, Women Against Negative Talk, and led me to writing the book, which is essentially this blueprint that people can sort of guide their way through of, okay, well, how do I actually do that? How do I find myself? How do I be myself out in the world? How do I stay myself when it feels like, well, it would probably be easier if I didn't? And then how do I get to this place where I actually want the self that I have, that I am?
That's incredible. And I listening to you, we are actually more alike than we are different, because I also was an Indian classical singer. Just like you, remember thinking all these, feeling all these things, knowing that there was nowhere I could look to get help. There was no like YouTube at the time or what, you know, whatever, like any type of resources. So that's why I value your platform so much, and probably why I resonate with it so much, because man, I wish like when I was 16, there was something around that was like this, that kind of would help me to, and I hate that we're saying negative self-talk, because you're absolutely right. It's not negative or positive. It's just a different texture of the self-talk, I guess, or a more intense feeling when it comes to that texture of the self-talk. But I love that you're been consistent at it, right? And that you're talking about your bounce back rate when something happens to you is a lot quicker because of the work that you've done along the way. And it just, I think, really drives home the point also that you were talking about before with, you can't access the tools that you don't have. So small things along the way, right? And when something happens, being curious and having grace, which you talk about in the book, and that is a muscle that gets built over time, is what I hear you saying, and how you've probably conducted your life up until this point, which is why when things happen to you, you're able to switch a little bit quicker than you did like when you were 16 or something, you know?
100%. Yeah, I love that. And you talk about wishing you had had that resource when you were younger. I wanted to see it so badly. So I created it. And then I was like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yes.
Because I hadn't gone through my own journey, first of all. And I wasn't just confident in what I knew, but I wasn't confident in what I didn't know. At that time, there was no framework. There was no sort of longer term plan. But when it came back into my life, into my consciousness, 7 years or so later, it was because I was in a profession where it was like editorial, online editorial around wellness and around mindset and around life, the lifestyle intersection of all of those things. And I saw that this subject of self-talk still was not being talked about in a holistic way. First of all, I would hear or read self-talk being talked about in terms of body image, especially when it came to women.
Yeah.
Or it was being talked about as this side note, as this like supporting example to a greater thesis. And I was like, no, this is everything. So where is this place that people can dive into to get tips and tools and motivation and inspiration and build their personalized toolkit to help shift their negative self-talk? And so when I think about my work now, people always talk about creating the thing that you needed when you were younger. I think that I now have the years behind me and the literal experience of actually creating the thing that I needed when I was younger,
Yeah.
to know that while, yes, that's a part of it, the actual reasoning behind it is so much greater, because I really do believe that self-talk is the missing piece in creating really social change that we want to create, that we are not giving as much weight and urgency as I believe that we should be, because sometimes we view it as more of a touchy-feely subject or in line with maybe the hobby of self-care, right?
Right.
Versus the real urgency that is going to create change that is way beyond any of us can even fathom.
Yeah. And isn't it funny too that people value being great to your body, talking good to your body versus self-talk holistically, like you're talking about, is not just your relationship to your body and not just relationship to your mind, which is a newer thing with mental health, but it is, people break it up, especially for women. And I love what you're saying, where you're saying self-talk is like all of it all together. And I think that that is something that's missing in our world, to be quite frank. I think that nobody really talks about that. They talk about relationship to food, relationship to body, relationship to mind, but I don't hear much people talking about relationship to all of it.
Yeah. When you talk about mental health and you talk about physical health, mental health is physical health, because your mind, like you said, is a part of your body.
Body.
And everything is interconnected. I mean, there are so many studies now about the so-called mind-gut connection, where your brain and your stress levels and what goes on in your head affects the way that, you know, you digest food and process nutrients and stuff like that. And we're just starting to scratch the surface when it comes to the mainstream conversation about it.
Right.
But what I hope is that as a conversation that we keep having, and we keep having in these small, newer ways, because I don't think that having one huge conversation in the times where things are just really, really bad, I don't think that's going to change things, right? It's a habit that we need to build. We need to build the habit of talking about these things and then talking about them in different ways. Like, I talk about self-talk as a language that we learn. How do you become fluent in a language? You don't just think it in your head and then go about your day. And you also don't just practice out loud. You have to think it. You have to practice it. And you also don't wait until you're in a situation where you primarily have to speak the language that you are not fluent in. You practice it in the neutral moments where you think it doesn't matter, because those are actually the moments where some of the moments it matters the most.
Yeah. And like, if you're going to a different country, I hear people downloading that app, whatever, Duolingo, which is probably something that's in your future, like Want Yourself app or something, to teach people to talk, to speak this language to themselves. I'm speaking that into existence for you for sure.
Yes. It's been in the back of my mind for a while. So I love that you just brought it out and into the world.
I'm just, the universe told me to remind you like that. That's
love
that's
it. In your Thank orbit. You. I'm writing it on a post-it right now.
Right. And then the last thing I just really wanted to talk about is, there are some times where big things happen in our lives, right? Loss of a family member, heartbreak. What are some mantras maybe, or some things that we can tell ourselves in those moments where, I think they talk about, and I'm not really well versed in it, but like, your prefrontal cortex is like not online, and you really have to hold yourself or catch yourself in that moment. I know that it's important to do it, to catch yourself when you're maybe going to say something negative to yourself, when the small things are happening, you're stuck in traffic or whatever, but also the big things. Sometimes if someone listens to this conversation, they might remember it in that moment, right? Because your logical mind is not working at that time. So what are some maybe mantras or things that you can say to yourself, or something that you can say to yourself in those big life moments?
Yeah, I love that you brought this up, because that is the truth of life, right? There are going to be big things that happen. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness those parts of our brain sort of shut off in the moment, because that's how we not only cope, but are able to many times get through those moments. Mm-hmm. And so I think trying to fix things or to stop any sort of negative self-talk or spiral in that moment, it's really, really, really hard, because you are in a bit of crisis mode in your head and in your heart. So what I love to tell myself, and what I always suggest people to tell themselves, is be proactive, not reactive. Getting rid of things like fear or self-doubt, those are really hard, because like we were talking about before, those are a part of being human, and they're there for a reason. There is reason behind that, even if the reason is maybe a little bit misguided.
Right.
However, if we can start to think of not just the moment that we're in, but positivity and negativity in general, more in terms of being proactive and not reactive. So moving forward and doing something that is helpful in some way versus clinging to something in the past or trying to erase or wipe over. That's what I think of when I think of reactive.
Yeah.
And I think of that loss of agency and control.
Mm-hmm.
If we're able to do that, then it's not about the goal of feeling good or happiness versus feeling bad or sadness. It's about, okay, what can I do to move forward? And that starts to give you a bit more grounding in yourself. That is so important always, but especially in those times where life just throws you for a loop and you feel like everything is swirling around you. That is the number one phrase that has really not just helped me, but saved me in so many situations again and again and again.
I love that you shared that. And then when you're speaking, I see that you're like embodying it. Like you really are this. And I really think that is so valuable to have somebody modeling this in their day-to-day life for us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I think it's also really easy for people to, when they do start to make those changes in their selves. So you found yourself, you're locked into who you are, you're solid in who you are. I think that's actually some of the time that it is easier to pop into self-deprecation mode and start to practice the reactivity and the negative self-talk because we self-deprecate to relate. And so I think challenging that when it starts to come up as you are moving forward fearlessly and as you are being proactive, not reactive, that I think is absolutely essential if people are like, I want to live a life that feels like it's not only true to who I am, but I want the life that I have. And if I don't like certain things, or I don't love certain things, or I want to change things, I trust myself that I have the power to be proactive and make the changes that are necessary.
Yeah, that I feel that inside of me, like when you say it. And I think that that's like such a quiet, powerful strength somewhere down here, right? That's where that comes from. You know, if you're practicing it consistently every day, and understanding too, because I hear you say it, that good things will happen, bad things will happen, good things, bad things. But it's important to understand and know that it is okay to feel the buffet of feelings that you're feeling as a human being, and have that be okay in your life. And then having yourself being your own best friend and holding your own hand and walking yourself through those moments together and being really self-reliant as well. And also knowing that the universe has got you too.
Exactly.
And there are materials like your book that have you, that there are resources that you can reach to help you build that muscle within yourself. I love it. I love what you're sharing. And thank you so much. I really want to be respectful of your time, but thank you so much for spending your time. I could talk to you for hours on this subject matter. The time really flew by.
No, and you asked such phenomenal questions that actually some that I haven't been asked before. And it's so wonderful to talk to people about this subject. I've been doing it for so long, and I'm just so grateful that I have this book that sort of gives me an excuse to like really go out there and talk about it to so many people so often, because I really do believe in the power of this self-told story. And it's so wonderful to meet people like yourself who not only get it, but they also are able to and willing to dive into the nuances of it and inspire their own communities to do that work themselves, as I know you will.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. And that's the thing. That's where I live. I live in the nuances. I live in these, what is this feeling? I've never felt this before. It doesn't feel like A, it doesn't feel like B, you know? And so that's why I appreciate your work and I appreciate what you're doing. I'm glad that you wrote the book and you get to go out there and talk about it, because I feel like it is a message that needs to be shared. It is a message that is going to resonate with so many people and make people think differently. Differently in a way that they haven't thought before and they haven't heard before, because the self story is a thing that will catch you and that will save your life every single time, I think. And just know that you have your own back. So anyways, thank you so much. And thank you for your kind words.
Thank you. I had the best time with you. Thank you so much for having
me too. Awesome.
That was awesome.
I know. Have a great rest of the night.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
Bye.